Well, I think it's fair to say, though, that all, if not, well, most, if not all, homosexuals were raised by heterosexuals. So to assume that homosexuals will be more successful than the heterosexual parents were is silly.
What we do when we bring an expert into court is to try and throw down the myths. The myth that you automatically raise homosexual children in a homosexual home, the myth that homosexuals, the label lesbian becomes the whole person, especially if you've never met a lesbian. If you don't know the lesbian first, the lesbian label is the whole thing, so that men alternately think of us as incapable, as frigid. There's two myths, that we're frigid or that we're totally sexual people. And under the totally sexual people myth is the one that lesbians will make love in front of their children. I've heard judges ask that question, which, you know, would never ask a heterosexual couple, and that lesbians will molest their children. So that that's one of the things we bring the expert in for. But there's been very little research done, in fact, on whether lesbian families, homes have raised lesbian children or raised heterosexual children or raised any kind of children. Until the last few years, lesbians went into court lying about their lesbianism, and even when the judge knew about it, he didn't put it on the record because he thought it would embarrass the family, so he said. And then there was no listed case law for lawyers to find because there was no category, and this is like a key index that lawyers look for a topic. There was no category, so there was no topic, so even if they went on, nobody else ever knew about them. And a lot of these kinds of cases are heard in chambers and never make it come out in a report, so it was all a great big secret. There's been one study done that we use a lot in cases by a woman in New York who's a sociologist who was doing a lot of couple counseling and lesbian counseling, and she took a control group of straight mothers and a group of lesbian mothers and worked with them for over a long period of time and studied and tested them. And what she came out with as a result was that lesbian mothers have all of the same problems as straight mothers, and they come from as many different backgrounds as straight mothers, and that the only significant difference, some of them are good mothers and some of them aren't good mothers, but the only significant difference was that they tend to feel guilty, and this very much came up in the Risha case, in the way a couple who are black and white and raising a mixed racial child feel guilty about the kind of teasing that may happen on the street and in school, and certainly I've had to deal with those kinds of things. And what she did was work with them to make them see that they can't assume the burden of that guilt, and that there are ways to make your children feel loved and cared for, whatever the situation in the home. And then she found that once that hurdle had been got through, that in fact she feels the lesbian mother in many ways offers a more stable, more productive,
more stronger role model
to a child, because the average wife still attached to a man. Now, I'm not talking about situations in the home where the couple are trying to work through a relationship where there's a level of equality, but the average situation has the woman almost as a child, very dependent, very neurotically dependent on the man. Right. And that's not a particularly good role model. This is a very independent, very strong woman who's raising her children alone, so that tended to be a real plus on the side for the lesbian mothers.
But it's still going to be a long fight, obviously, until this kind of thing doesn't even enter into the discussion, and they can go back to saying, yes, the mother is a lesbian, but which home is better for the father? You know, which home is better, the father's or the mother's for the children?
I frankly don't anticipate that happening. Just coming down to saying, let's just look at the better home.
I really think after a number of cases, I mean, how many times are they going to put sexuality on the line? I think it eventually has to come to the point where it just won't be an issue anymore.
Well, I guess that goes into a broader issue of where the women's movement is politically, and whether how long this phase of the women's movement is going to be permitted to last. I mean, right now, I used to say, if only we could get a case to the Supreme Court, you know, we'd have some clear thing. Now I say, let's hope we don't get a case to the Supreme Court. First of all, I don't think they would hear it. They'd say it wasn't right. But also, right now, with the present Supreme Court, we would lose. You know, they're coming down against gay rights legislation, so I don't think it's going to be that easy. And certainly the picture right now is very bleak. I mean, when I say the cases were won on appeal, when you think about appeal, in fact, at some point the mother lost her children and went through an incredible period of both destructive for the mother and the child. And if that's why we stay out of court, because although we think we could win perhaps some cases on appeal, nobody wants to go through that hell. And it really is hell. And to, at the moment, it's still true, I would say, that in the average courtroom, you don't even have to have the nuclear family, the new nuclear family stacked up against you, the good father stacked up against you. You don't even have to have a father at all. It can be grandparents, it can be aunts and uncles, it can be a very bad father, and judges have been known to put children into a foster home rather than give them to a lesbian mother.
That's right. In fact,
one of the major cases that was won, that's exactly the situation, and for a whole year, she was not allowed to talk to or see her children until the case re-came up for appeal. So that the situation on the whole is still very bleak, and I see a lot of work ahead. I'm have been involved in the Governor's Justice Committee on sexual minorities, and we're trying to put together something that would lead towards legislation, but it's very difficult, and it's very difficult to even conceive of what you would do. Again, you have to go back to the amount of discretion that a judge has in family court. What I would like to do is raise the level of consciousness of the average judge in family court. And you're not going to do that unless you have a lesbian mother case in each courtroom, you know, for each judge on a regular basis, and that's not going to happen.
Mm.
And you can do things like a kind of legislation that might say the judge has to look at this and has to look at that, but that doesn't mean to say that when that legislation comes back down into the courtroom that the judge won't again put out an opinion, I did look at this, I did look at that, and I still decided this, and then won't even say that it's lesbianism that he decided the case on, but he did.
One issue that Rosalie raised a few minutes ago about the tendency of lesbian mothers, at least in the past, to lie about their lesbianism once they were in court. That's one of the things that we really urge against. In child custody cases, custody is never decided. That is, it's never permanent. It can always be reopened. All that one side has to claim is that there's been a change in circumstances. And knowing that, we feel that a woman who admits that she's a lesbian will be better off because that issue, and she wins, then that issue can never be raised again.
Right.
Moreover, a lot of women who are lesbians think that they're very quiet and closeted about it, and it turns out that they're not, and that others have seen them in homosexual situations, and somehow the father always manages to find those witnesses.
Yeah, unfortunately, when the lesbian comes to talk to you, she thinks the standard of proof for does anyone know you're a lesbian is the kind of standard you have for adultery, which is that you practically have to have been seen in bed with your lover, and it's not that standard at all. All you have to do is have enough evidence on the other side to convince a judge that there's a very great likelihood that there is a lesbian relationship going on. And so that when you start narrowing down the questions, you find that she's not as closeted. Maybe she's living with a woman who has been a public lesbian for a long time or is known in the local community as a lesbian, something like this. It's not an absolute rule that we never say to a mother lie. My feeling is if it's during the first year after the marriage is broken up and the husband really doesn't know what she's up to and she hasn't formed enough of a relationship for him to be able to really show anything, and there's a chance that within that period of a year or two he's going to be leaving town maybe, so that he's not going to see in the future, and his anger is going to quiet down, well maybe then it's best to keep quiet while it's good to keep quiet, and maybe he's never going to find out. But generally speaking, it's a bad idea to lie.
All of these things mean that it's just as psychologically scary and scarring as it is legally for a woman who's going through this.
Terribly.
And the other thing that we really ought to talk about is that one of the things that we discovered, which we had not planned when we started CALM, is that there's an incredible casualty ratio to the couple.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Yes, terrible.
And so that now we assume that this couple is going to go into trauma. And we assume that at some point we may be involved in what we consider couple counseling, which is where four of us sit down and start to work through some of the stuff that goes in around the courtroom situation. The mother has to see her lover as the person who is the cause of her losing her children. And even though she doesn't want to, and even though she loves her, the fact is the lover is the reason that she's losing her children. So there's a lot of hostility. On the other side, frequently the lesbian mother's own family will come in and testify on the husband's side, which is appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not let the lover in the courtroom because we want to lower that profile. We don't want the judge looking at a lesbian couple. So the lover is essentially helpless, and the mother is essentially isolated. And the person she loves most is being hurt, and it's her fault, and she can't even give her the most simple support, like being with her in the courtroom when her whole family is against her. And this causes, and then it can go on for months. A case can literally go on for months. And then sometimes you can wait months for the decision, even after the case is over. So that it's a very traumatic period for the couple and very, very difficult for them to get through. And it always seems to be at some point there's, we get a phone call saying, we're about to break up. And the sadness of that is that she's about to lose her children and her lover at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that all we can hope for at this point is that, like you said, enough cases will come before enough judges that eventually there may be guidelines in terms of legislation. In terms of CALM itself, your services are free, but the court costs can be very expensive, and you depend probably on a lot of community support. So at this point, I'd like to thank you both for talking about this with me and to give your address and telephone number for people who are either in need of your services or are interested in supporting the group, which is called CALM, Custody Action for Lesbian Mothers, at 1427 Walnut Street, Philadelphia, PA 19102, and the phone number is 03-3055.
And as of last week, all contributions are tax deductible.
Bye. Bye.